From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made while you were bed rotting, or snogging, or prepping for a bussin' girl dinner. It was made with a spotted lantern fly, street corn, and of course, this baby. If you're wondering what all of this means, as I am, yeah, you're not alone. Bed rotting, snog, bussin' girl dinner, spotted lantern fly, street corn, this baby, they all have one thing in common. They were added to dictionaries in 2024. As we'll discuss this hour, it takes a lot for a word or a phrase to make the cut. Lexicographers spend hours researching how frequently a word or a phrase is used. They look up and understand how it's used, in what ways, and how it reflects a moment in time or culture. In 2024, Merriam-Webster added 200 new words to its dictionary. Cambridge added more than 3,200. What are the standards at Cambridge? Come on. I mean, it's just anybody's getting in. This hour, we're excited to bring you one of our favorite annual Connections traditions, our discussion and our quiz about those new words. Maybe you think it's a chef's kiss. Maybe you think it's ick. We're going to see what our guests think. Thank you for laughing, Chris Fanning. Deputy Director of Writers and Books, Chris Fanning is here. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Thanks for flashing enough Riz to come back. Amanda Chestnut, co-founder, curator, publisher for In This Moment, also flashing the Riz. I didn't really know what that means either.
Thank you. We did. Riz was on last year.
Yeah, that was last year's word.
I feel like, though, I never use it right. Like, does someone have Riz, didn't we talk about like whether it's a verb or a noun?
Yes.
I think it can do both.
Me too.
See, I still, my 12-year-old's like, just don't even don't. Just don't, just do not. Meanwhile, Linda Sue Park is here to save us. The annual winner of this quiz, I think probably undefeated in recent decade.
No, last year Chris won.
Oh, is that right? I don't even remember. It's kind of like whose line is it anyway? I mean, do we know? Does it really matter?
No.
Although this time it matters because we're changing it. Linda Sue Park, who's the author of, A Long Walk to Water, Prairie Lotus, and many others, a distinguished author, a wordsmith. But whoever wins this year gets to come back next year, and the two losers can come back in the 2030s. So this is it. That's all you got. Only one winner. We're getting tired of you people, and we've hit the wall. No. This is like one of the best annual traditions. And listeners, again, pens and pencils out. We're going to see how you do on the quiz. Now, I will ask you all. I'll start with the winner, Chris Fanning from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Do most of the time, do you find this sort of opaque and hard to figure out how they're making these decisions, or you think, okay, no, that this makes sense. I mean, it's culture, it's words, it changes, it evolves.
Yeah, I think every year we talk about how, you know, the landscape changes, and so our language changes with that. And just because some of the terms are familiar to me, there are still ones every year that I have not heard or have not been used around me, and I scratch my head.
Is there anything that you can use on the air that is like this new phrase or word that you use all the time?
I posted about this morning, but Collins Dictionary included brat. Brat was a big word for me this summer, and
because brat goes in the summer.
Because brat is summer.
Because like sausages and backyard like bratwurst.
Oh.
No, it's less brat.
Summer. I know brat. What a brat summer is. I mean, like I actually don't feel like I fully know how brat is used.
Oh.
Oh, I forgot this is a game show.
It is.
Amanda, once we get past a certain age, is that it? Or can we still effectively use some of this new terminology?
I was not on a college campus for the last year for the first time in
a
few
years.
Oh, you're
at a disadvantage here.
So I definitely think that the best way to keep up, other than being chronically online, which does lead to brain rot, the next best way is to engage in conversation with people who are younger than you, because they're more likely to use those words out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good observation. Linda Sue, what about you? I mean, you're writing all the time. How often are you like, you know what, I think I'm just going to I'm just going to show that I am with the Youngs on this.
Well, not only am I the senior member here, but I also am not very social media wise, which is where I think a lot of this happens, a lot of the new stuff happens. So I find myself often totally bewildered. I had a week-long session with my grandchildren on mewing, which I still don't quite understand. But it has to do with stroking your chin or something. And why is that mewing? I'm still not sure. Anyhow, yeah, so I was actually very startled the first few times we did this to win a few times in a row, because I do feel completely out of it.
Well, before we get to the quiz that producer Megan Mack has created, that, you know, like just a little bit of a spoiler alert, I feel like there's going to be some drama with Karen Fanning. we're going to see. We're going to see. Here's what Merriam-Webster says is the word of the year. Polarization. Mm. That's their word of the year. They say, we define polarization as division into two sharply distinct opposites, especially a state in which the opinions, beliefs, or interests of a group or society no longer range along a continuum, but become concentrated at opposing extremes. And the word was widely used across the media landscape. Of course, polarization is the choice for Merriam-Webster. And let's see here. Cambridge, what's theirs? There's a lot of interesting words here. Cambridge went with manifest. And as a verb, to use methods such as visualization, affirmation to help you imagine achieving something you want in the belief that doing so will make it more likely to happen. That one I kind of get, like, in this moment's got to happen. We're going to manifest this, right? Like that, like before in this moment was a thing, which it is now a thing, which we're going to talk about the next edition soon. Like creative people have to come up with ways to figure out a way to get the idea into reality. And sometimes I hear, how do we manifest this?
I think that there is some overlap between creativity and manifestation, but manifestation is typically much more associated with woo.
With woo?
Woo.
Really?
It's woo. Manifestation comes from woo and woo-woo culture and essentially witchcraft. It really is. And it's funny to me that it has evolved so much out of woo and witchcraft when it is not dissimilar to prayer. So it could have come from religion, but it really much more culturally overlaps with woo. And what you see now, it's interesting to me because I was just reading this article about how you are seeing manifestation having the woo removed. People are trying to corporatize manifestation and make it a little less woo-y and a little less churchy. And I'm not sure manifestation works without those things, as prayer doesn't really work without those things.
No, it's interesting to think of it in the context of prayer. I mean, like, I could definitely see it used in, like, hey, we got a big game tonight. We got to win. Manifesting.
Yes.
That just means I'm hoping and putting a good thought into
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah.
I would just like Amanda to repeat everything she just said.
just a brief note on how this happens, by the way. Merriam-Webster says the following. Each day, Merriam-Webster editors devote an hour or two to reading a cross-section of published material, including books, newspapers, magazines, and electronic publications. In our office, this activity is called reading and marking. The editors scour the text in search of new words, new usages of existing words, variant spellings, and inflected forms. In short, anything that might help in deciding if a word belongs in the dictionary, understanding what it means, and determining typical usage. Any word of interest is marked, along with surrounding context that offers insight into its form and usage. The marked passages are then input into a computer system and stored both in machine-readable form and on 3x5 slips of paper to create citations. Dictionary editors review groups of citations and use evidence... Dictionary editors review groups of citations to decide if entries need to be adjusted or added. And before new words can be added, it must have enough citations to show that the word or phrase is widely in use. That's why sometimes you hear a word or a phrase and you're like, that feels like it's a decade old here. But that's Merriam-Webster saying, we got to see it in repeated use. Now, I think part of the trouble is by the time it's a, you've noticed that it's in repeated use, it might be in decline. I don't know. But we also noted last year that words or phrases like microaggression first appeared with some routine as early as the 1970s, but maybe not as widespread as would be in recent years. So that's a little bit of how this happens. And with Oxford, it's a five-person squad of word researchers, lexicographers, and language experts who spend their days analyzing databases and tracking collections of words called corpuses, corpuses, to see what new words become frequently used. So, we ready for the quiz?
Oh, God.
Let's do this. Is everybody ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's do this. Listeners, play along with us here. Here we go. Question number one. The countdown to Christmas was on, and the very generous Chris Fanning was on a mission. A mission to find the perfect gift for his mother, the lovely Karen Fanning. The two Fannings are avid gardeners, and Chris knew nothing would make the lovely Karen happier than a display case for her prize-winning carrot. But money was tight, and the display cases were all expensive due to A, ick, B, greedflation, C, the international bitterness unit, or D, range anxiety. Okay, the defending champion has to give the first crack, and then we will ask the other players. Chris Fanning, ick, greedflation, international bitterness unit, or range anxiety?
I love C, the sound of that, but I'm going to go with B, greed nation.
Greedflation. Amanda?
I trust Chris's judgment and assume that he would only buy the finest artisan display case for Karen and her carrot. So I'm not sure the price would be actually indicative of greedflation, but that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay, and Linda Sue Park.
I'm thinking like Amanda. It's difficult to envision that greedflation would affect a carrot display case, but I will go with that.
That is correct. They've all got a point. Greedflation is the answer. A rise in prices, rents, or the like that is not due to market pressure or any other factor organic to the economy, but is caused by corporate executives or boards of directors, property owners, etc., solely to increase profits that are already healthy or excessive. Greedflation. Ick. Cambridge says ick is a sudden feeling that you dislike someone or something or are no longer attracted to someone because of something they do. So how would you use ick, Amanda?
I was going to go on a date with this guy, but he was picking his nose, and it just gave me the ick.
Okay, so it's a noun. It's a noun. It gave me the ick, so it's a noun.
Yes.
Okay. That's not a verb. Okay. And it's also not an adjective. Okay. So not icky. It's the ick.
The ick, yes. Or if you wanted to use it as an adjective, it would be icky. So it's a shortening of the adjective.
There we go. The International Bitterness Unit that Chris was almost drawn to, it's a unit of measurement used to assess the concentration of a bitter compound found in hops to provide information about how bitter a beer is.
Wow.
There you go.
Not at all what I was
guessing. I only ever see that as IBC, so I haven't ever seen the, or IBU. I see it's IBU on, mm-hmm. like, if you're at a brewery, it'll say that number of IBUs, but I didn't know that's what that stood for.
There's the full term. And come on, Linda, so you know what range anxiety is, right?
Silence.
Range anxiety is just defined as when a person on a talk show is too nervous about being in studio and they feel like they have to be remote. They need a little more range. Not that. Range anxiety is the apprehension or fear that an electric vehicle's battery will run out of power before reaching one's intended destination or a charging station. Range anxiety is pretty commonly described by possible car buyers who are worried that, hey, I want an electric car. Where are the charging stations? How far is my typical drive? In the winter, does the charge go down? Can I get all the way to where I'm going and back without a charge? And they get that anxiety, and then they go, I think I'm going to go with a hybrid or gas. So that's range anxiety. All right, question two, gang. Amanda will have to play first here. The plot continues. Meanwhile, in the Finger Lakes, the lovely Karen Fanning was fretting over a gift for Chris. She knew her son wanted a new pair of gardening gloves to match his stylish gardening visor. But greedflation struck again. To raise the funds to buy the gloves, Karen knew she had to sell her carrot. She found a buyer who used that magnificent carrot to make A, girl dinner, B, burrata, C, capicola, D, capipasta. Amanda,
I'm not sure how some of these are just making it into.
I think copypasta is actually a past.
I think we did.
I believe we did.
Yeah.
Megan Mac clarifies it was a past word for MW. Cambridge just added copypasta this year.
So Cambridge is a little bit behind.
They're a little behind.
A little behind the times.
Yeah.
Is the answer, whatever that was.
Girl dinner.
Girl dinner, yes.
Linda Sue Park.
Girl dinner.
Girl dinner, Chris Fanning.
Big fan, girl dinner.
All right. Amanda is, they're all correct. Wait a second, we're laughing at it? They're right. Yay! What is girl dinner, Amanda?
Girl dinner is the snacks that you eat because it's easier to stand over your sink and put snacks in your mouth than it is to actually assemble a whole meal.
That's pretty much word for word. It's just more efficient and quick, very little prep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Snacking off and over a sink there. Why it is girl dinner, I don't know. I don't know the etymology there. I'd be very curious to know what the root is of girl dinner.
I feel like it might have come from TikTok.
Oh, possibly.
But I think that it's rooted in the assumption that...
Producer Maggie Max is correct. It's a TikTok origin.
So
that should be a bonus point, by the way. That should be a bonus point.
I think it is because both women are frequently untreated for ADD, so they have a lot of trouble, myself included, planning a meal start to finish, and then actually, like, once you get through the mental work of planning the meal, it's a lot harder to then do the work to make the meal. There's a lot of steps involved, and grabbing, say, a carrot out of the refrigerator and just eating it while you're thinking about cooking is a lot easier, and then you're like, oh, I'm done eating.
You're like, I guess I've already eaten.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. There we go. Burrata is a mozzarella formed into a ball-shaped casing that contains curds and cream. Capicola, seasoned Italian pork that is cut from the neck and top shoulder. Capipasta, text that is shared many times on the internet, especially a block of text that is often copied and pasted. Capipasta is, if someone says, hey, that's capipasta, is that a pejorative or a complaint?
Neither.
It depends. Yeah,
I think it depends on how much the copypasta gets used and where it's being used. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a Facebook group and every single comment is copypasta, you might be like, can we cut it out with the copypasta, guys?
Got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it would be viewed as lazy in that point.
It's funny for a little while. It's a joke that wears out very easily.
Okay. There we go. Okay. Linda Sue Park. First up, question three. The quiz continues. Back in Rochester, Chris Fanning had parted ways with his gardening visor, earning enough money to buy the display case for the lovely Karen's carrot. Mm. He sold the visor for a pretty penny, thanks to its A, shadow ban, B, heat index, C, face journey, D, barbicore. Linda Sue Park.
I want to know how long Megan spends writing this.
She actually starts in June.
As soon as the last year's episode ends, yeah, I think she gets right to it.
That's it. That's it.
So is anybody else getting Gift of the Magi vibes here?
Totally.
Oh, Henry.
Yeah, love it.
Big
right? Love it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I need the choices again.
A, shadow ban. B, heat index. C.
That one.
Oh, heat index, B.
Yes.
Chris Fanning.
I'm going to go with barbicore.
Barbicore. Okay, Amanda.
I am not sure how any of these fit. I'm going to guess with barbicore.
Linda Sue, you're down one.
Oh.
Barbicore is correct. And here we go. There we go. So Barbiecore is defined as an aesthetic or... Well, hold on a second. Chris Fanning, you got it right first here. So Barbiecore, what is it?
If we all transport back to last year during Barbenheimer, we were all looking for the cute, the fun, the flair, the bright pink color palette for accessories, for clothing, for, you know, upping our serotonin levels. That's Barbiecore to me.
Modeled on the wardrobe of the Barbie doll.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Correct. That's right. That's Barbiecore. So wait a second. Chris sold his visor for a pretty penny thanks to its Barbiecore?
Barbiecore is in. It's super popular.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Cottagecore is out.
What's
it's
out?
It's not.
Cottagecore
is never out.
What is Cottagecore?
Think of like a... What's it?
Chris. Kuga.
Chris is Cottagecore.
If I had a cardigan on. Yeah.
Cottagecore is lots of wood and stone and moss and knit sweaters and cozy fires and...
Okay. Nancy Myers.
Tea kettle it on the stove.
It was a Hygge from a few years back. H-Y-G-G-E,
oh, yeah.
The Danish thing is mm-hmm. cottagecore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hygge, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. So think of like a log cabin fire on a winter's
yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. snowing outside.
Not leaving.
Fire, mm-hmm. not going anywhere. You have really comfortable clothing on that is maybe not Barbiecore, but it's cottagecore. Okay. Mm-hmm. You said heat index, Linda Sue Park. Heat index, Merriam-Webster says, is just the value that indicates when the ambient temperature, what it feels like to the human body, and that is derived from a calculation using air temperature and relative humidity. So heat index is in the dictionary, and that answer was wrong. Okay,
I thought it might have to do with like a new use of hotness.
Oh. <That's> Engineer Rob Braden has everything.
This audience today is yeah, wild.
The audience is on fire.
They are engaged.
Does anybody want to take a crack at what is a face journey?
Is that so? I know what it is to serve face.
Right.
Is this like the start to finish of putting on makeup?
Botox.
Or is it like the start of like, this is what I looked like as a teenager, and now this is what I look like as an adult?
No, not quite. No, I don't think. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of where I was going with it as well. Just the progression of either putting your face on or the change of your face over years.
Mm. Good thing I didn't pick that one.
And Linda Sue Park, anything on face journey? You said Botox.
Yes.
It's not Botox.
Right. Face journey. No, I got nothing except what they said.
Cambridge says it's a series of expressions that appear on someone's face showing different emotions that they are experiencing as an ongoing reaction to something.
Ah.
So okay. You might go from like horror to laughter or laughter to horror or whatever. Then the last one was shadow ban. What's a shadow ban, extremely online people?
Shadow ban. I know this one.
Okay.
Shadow ban is what happens when you post something on your social media feed that is typically not appreciated by the moderators of that social media feed. So they downplay how often your post shows up in other people's feeds. So instead of you fitting into the algorithm normally, if you have a shadow ban, people might have to actually go out of their way and type your name in to find any of your content rather than having it turn up in your feed organically.
Professor Chestnut, exactly.
Brilliant.
Right. That's exactly right. So it's not a technical ban. It is definitely a way to suppress people from being part of a community or conversation, and it's usually without their knowledge.
I've noticed, for example, when I talk about unions and labor rights on Twitter, I am much less. I will go down. I will have a significant. I don't use Twitter anymore these days, or X, when I would get a significant drop in my engagement for 2 or 3 weeks after talking about unions and labor rights.
Shadow ban.
We use it in context of banned books, especially at schools and libraries that serve young people, where there's no trace that the book has been actually banned officially by any, you know, governing body, but the books are simply pulled from the shelves. Or put in boxes somewhere, or not purchased when they normally would be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it can be especially effective, Linda Sue, because it's hard to track. I mean, it's sort of hard to hard to prove. Yeah. So that's shadow ban. Okay, question four. Here we go. Amanda and Chris with a 1-point lead here. It was finally Christmas Eve. The Fanning family gathered around the tree to exchange gifts, with Chris and the lovely Karen grinning with smiles brighter than the Christmas star. When they opened each other's gifts and realized what each had done, all they could do was laugh. In this magi moment, am I supposed to say those words or do I? Okay, in this magi moment, if you know, you know. Chris and Karen exchanged a loving A, speed run, B, chef's kiss, C, boop, D, touch grass.
Oh.
Okay, Chris Fanning, we're back to you.
I think we exchanged a loving boop.
A loving boop.
Aww.
Yeah.
Amanda.
I was going to say if it was anyone other than your mother, boop would not be appropriate, but I feel like you can boop your mom.
Okay. Linda Sue.
Well, here's where I make up my ground. It's definitely chef's kiss.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So I was between
that
them,
was
yeah.
That was my
yeah.
second pick.
Yeah. I just want to say for the record, I was with Linda Sue. But the judges have allowed for two answers here.
Oh, no.
Chef's kiss and boop. Both.
No.
Both accepted. No, that is literally in the rules right here. Chef's kiss or boop. Because a chef's kiss is what, Linda Sue Park?
It's you know, when you put your fingers to your lips and make a kissing sound at the same time of flaring your hand.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that we all in the studio just made that gesture.
We just did it.
Yes. Even though no one can see us in the studio.
We just did it. But you do
and
that.
It means yes. Like something like perfection.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it. Perfect. Mm-hmm. That is a perfect answer. And so it would make sense for Chris and the lovely Karen to exchange a loving chef's kiss, to look at it and go, ah, perfect. Although that mm-hmm. does seem a little less familial and a little more like what friends might do. Boop, I think, is probably a little more on the nose here.
Oh. See?
It was great being here, everyone.
You see? You do know the word. You know them well enough to make a dad joke.
Well, I thought everybody knows boop, but now Cambridge says it's in the dictionary. A boop is a gentle hit or touch on a person's
Pet.
Or anima's nose, yeah. Nose or head, showing that you like them or as a joke. But it's
who boops their mom? I mean, I just don't know anybody who boops their mom.
Chris Fanning. Literally, Chris Fanning booped his mom.
One of my favorite Instagram accounts is in French, and I do not know enough French to understand every word, but he walks around booping animals and just talks about how he boops all of the animals. And here's a boop on a lizard, and a boop on a frog, and a boop on a, oh, that one ran away, and a boop on a fish, and a boop on a, yeah, that's the whole, that's
literally he does not boop
video.
His mother, you see?
He does not boop his mother.
Not his mother. A boop can be affectionate. It can be condescending, I think. I think it can be both.
Huh. A little bit like that pat on the head, like, oh, good job.
Like Jamila Jamil's character in The Good Place when she boops Kristen Bell's character and Kristen Bell wants to kill her. She goes, oh, she booped me. And she's just you know, she's filled with rage. Touch grass, everybody. What does touch grass mean?
We all need to touch grass.
Chris Fanning, what is touch grass?
That is when you are taking a minute to ground yourself and go back to one and have a reset and, you know, literally go outside, take off your shoes. Touch grass.
And especially get offline.
Get offline.
Get off screens.
Yes.
Touch grass.
Mm-hmm.
Speed run. What's a speed run? Anybody?
It's a tech thing.
Yes,
something
it is.
About practice run, usually done with a group of people trying to write a certain amount of code in a certain amount of time, I think.
How come Amanda doesn't win this every year?
Amanda is about to win. We're going to see here. Cambridge says it's to complete a computer game or part of a computer game as quickly as possible, especially by taking advantages of any glitches to speedrun.
Okay. So the way I have heard that used most often when said out loud is that people are engaging with life like they are on a speed run.
Oh.
So instead of actually slowing down and enjoying your moments in life, you're playing the game of life like it's a game and you're going to win because you're getting through it faster than everybody else.
Without actually kind of immersing or experiencing.
Yes.
Without touching grass.
Wow. Very good. And by the way, Cambridge has now accepted IYKYK. If you know, you know.
I was wondering if that was written all the way out or if it was just the acronym. So
it is the acronym, but it is, it's a written abbreviation, of course, for if you know, you know, often used on social media to show that there is a shared joke or inside joke or shared knowledge that some people outside of that circle might not understand. Okay, here we go. The last question of the quiz. It's a close one. I know. 10 questions next year, but you know.
Oh, my God. Well, two of us won't be here, so it doesn't matter.
Here we go. After all of that, our heroes, Chris and the lovely Karen Fanning, decided that next year, instead of gifts, they'd go on a trip together. What's better, they thought, than enjoying each other's company, touching grass, along with a good A, cash grab, B, beach read, C, nepo baby, D, porch piracy. So Amanda has to go first here.
Beach read.
Okay.
And because it is a beach read. Because when you say beach read, it's like it sounds like it's all like it makes more sense if you actually have the words versus it all smooshing together. And then it's like, what are those vowels?
This is listed as two words, beach read.
Yes.
Okay. Amanda's going with beach read, Linda Sue Park.
Yep. Beach read.
Chris Fanning?
Yeah. We will not be doing porch piracy. We will be engaging with our beach read.
Beach read is correct. Merriam-Webster says it's a light work of escapist fiction, but really just going, you know, it's just a good thriller or romance, right? That's kind of breezy, fun.
Easily consumable.
Fluffy.
Low stakes. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brain candy.
So how in the world would you enjoy a good porch piracy? Cambridge says that's the act of stealing parcels that have been left outside people's houses for them.
I can't imagine Karen.
Yeah, Karen Fanning, what is going on with
Absolutely
you?
Absolutely
you would even
not.
Think of that on vacation.
Never.
Never.
Never. Okay.
It could be a bonding thing.
Right after we've exchanged boops, we go and right. Porch pirate.
A nepo baby is what, Linda Sue Park?
A nepo baby is someone who obtains their position not on merit, but because a parent or some other progenitor has provided them that opportunity.
No, I think that's mostly right, Rob.
I think that's it exactly,
what?
Isn't it?
That's it exactly.
So Merriam-Webster says it's the child of a famous parent. What Linda is taking it to, Linda Sue's taking it to the next point, which is that often we know of the person simply that they're gaining some sort of status or trying to swing some weight around society. But a lot of people are looking at this like, well, who are you? You're just the child of a famous parent.
Well,
you
hear it a lot with actors. For example, Drew Barrymore is a nepo baby. And she comes from a long line of Hollywood people.
Who's Drew Barrymore's parents? I don't think I know.
I can't actually tell you their name, but she's like a fourth generation actor.
Okay.
So and very wealthy, inherited through that acting. And that's how she wound up doing terrible things as a young teenager because her parents were already in those spaces.
There we go. So that's nepo, baby. Cash grab is just, you know, that's the greedy pursuit of an opportunity for making a quick buck. That's cash.
It's greedflation.
I mean, it's probably related, yeah. greedflation is a avenue for cash grabbing. So would porch piracy be, perhaps. But somebody has to talk to Karen about that. It's a bad habit. Bad habit. But nobody's perfect, Karen. I want Richard in Canandaigua. We're going to take your phone call after. We have to take this only break. We're going to come back. We're going to take Richard's call. And then, don't worry, we've got to figure out who the actual winner is. And Linda Sue's now eliminated till 2030.
No!
But we're going to let Linda Sue stay on the rest of the hour. And I have some more words that we can get through. So let's take that break. We'll take Richard's call and more of the quiz coming up.
I'm Megan Mack. Coming up in our second hour, at long last, the band behind the Connections theme song, the one you're hearing right now, is joining us on the show. Ra Ra Riot has roots in the Finger Lakes in Western and Central New York, and its song, Shadow Casting, has been our theme since 2014. But there's lots more to Ra Ra Riot. They've been touring for 2 decades. We talk to them about their music, the state of the industry, and more. That's next.
Richard Dawson back with you on The Feud.
Oh.
No relation, Richard Dawson and me. Evan Dawson back on Connections here. And it's not The Feud, it's the annual Connections New Words in the Dictionary quiz and challenge with our panel of 3 fabulous contestants, Linda Sue Park, Chris Fanning, Amanda Chestnut, all with us. I want to mention as well, we just had a little audio flub. That's not a new word or phrase in the dictionary. That's something that just happened because the host put the tease for the next hour in the wrong place. Sorry about that.
Aww.
It happened. Yeah, it happens. So next hour we've got, I'm really excited, and I will tell you honestly, we do about 500 hours of radio a year. It's one of the rare times I'm kind of like nervous enough to maybe sweat a little bit. We've got the lead singer and the lead of the band Ra Ra Riot on. I've been hoping for about 10 years to bring them on because they do the music for this program. We asked for permission to use one of their songs when this show launched in 2014. The label said yes, and I said, we got to have Ra Ra Riot on. And we did 11 years later. So finally, we get that chance. I really appreciate their work and their music, and I'm literally looking forward to that. So that's going to be a fun hour next hour. Let me grab a phone call from Richard in Canandaigua. Hello, Richard. Go ahead.
Hello. Interesting subject, and I've been amused at the how amused you all have been at the new words that have been brought in English. Seems like every year, and
yeah.
and everyone is astonished at how many words are permitted. But it it's never surprised me for a reason having to do with a technical reason having to do with the grammatical structure of English. And I won't get into the technical matter there, but what is made possible by English grammar is that a word can be brought in from another language, for example, without that word having to be transformed in any way. For example, a language which is inflected would require of a new word to be to have several perhaps endings attached or some other kind of enclitic, which would make it difficult for that language to bring in more words. So one of the reasons why I think English is a world language now is because people who are brought up with other languages that are that have more restricted vocabularies find that they can speak more precisely and about many, many more things by using English. And I've, in my experience, been kind of surprised at the delight that people who have learned English as a second language, in my acquaintance, tell me they enjoy English and work hard to perfect their mastery of it. So I just thought I'd throw that in as a little light on this whole matter of how it is that even the Cambridge or the OED is open to acceptance of new words on a yearly basis. It's because English is very accommodating in this way.
Richard, thank you very much for that phone call. Amanda, what do you think? Linda Sue, you want to jump in? Go ahead.
Yeah, that is a fascinating point. And so I have an assignment for Megan, which is to find out how many new words have been added to Chinese dictionaries or another tonal language, because that is really interesting.
Yeah, very interesting point. Amanda?
Also because we don't gender our words the same way many other languages gender their words. And we're seeing, I think, a trend in degendering some words that
are typically traditionally have used gender a lot. So I do think that there are some foibles in English that don't apply in other languages that make it a little bit more flexible.
Yeah, interesting. Chris, Fanning, anything to add?
No, nothing to add.
Well, we definitely should have Megan do that. She's got nothing to do. Producer Megan.
Linda now is banned for 2 years.
Right.
Linda Sue Park is a multi-time winner of this event, but not this year. It's going to be Chris Fanning or Amanda Chestnut. And here we go with the word off. You ready?
Yeah.
So we're going to go back and forth here. You're not both answering. You're doing one at a time. So no complaints if you get a word that's easy and somebody else gets one that's hard. That's just life. Okay? I want to hear it.
Okay. I think they both have my number if either of them wants to text me for help. Well,
stand by, Linda Sue.
All right, Amanda Chestnut, mid.
Mid. If something is mid, it is mediocre. It is mid-level. It is not either excellent or lousy. It's just mid.
The word mediocre is literally right there in the definition from Cambridge. So Cambridge has taken mid this year. That is correct. Amanda, still alive. All right, Chris, here we go.
Okay.
The phrases Cambridge took in this year, go over to the dark side.
Well, anyone who's, I think, a Star Wars fan out there puts this together pretty easily. You're making the switch from the light to the dark, from good to evil. You're putting your toe over the line into the darker side.
To start to behave in a way that is evil or harmful. Correct. This is all Cambridge right now, by the way. Slow fashion, Amanda Chestnut.
Slow fashion versus fast fashion. Slow fashion is the kind of clothing that you buy and intend to wear, not just for a season or a year, but for years and years and years. So slow fashion would be like a really nice suit coat or a nice pair of leather boots that you would resole and maintain and work on keeping, versus fast fashion, which is designed to be disposable, usually much less expensive. Expensive, but often at the cost of underpaying people for their labor.
That is 90%. I want to, before we let this thing through here, slow and fast fashion also have a difference in terms of impact in what possible context here.
I mean, if we want to talk about environmental
impact.
That's
it. Got it. Eco.
I can go for even more.
We got it. So it's exactly what Amanda described, but often for emphasizing eco-friendly and well-made clothing, yeah.
Yes. It is both, because there is less that winds up in the landfill, and slow fashion often uses better material sources.
I imagine slow fashion follows, I think fast fashion probably was in the dictionary first, I would think. Slow fashion is probably a response to fast fashion. Yeah.
I just want to say my Barbie Core gardening visor is slow fashion.
Yeah. I doubt it. All right, Chris, here we go. Cambridge took the phrase, this baby.
This baby.
I am so glad that's yours because when you said it earlier, I was like, well, how did this wind up?
Amanda's gone. Chris just said, I can name that in one note. And Amanda's like, name that tune.
This baby. I mean, I can only think of, like, this is the special thing I'm talking about. This baby. This thing right here in this moment. That's my best guess.
Well, we're going to see what producer Megan Mack decides. Here's the technical definition from Cambridge. This baby. Something such as a device, a vehicle, or a product, especially one that you approve of or find impressive in some way. So
is this more like, not specifically like, I see in the NFL, they use, I think man is, are you man? And not the man, which is essentially
or
what it is.
Him.
Him is the other
People
one.
People say, I'm him.
So it's not like that. It's more like, oh, yeah, this baby I can do 80 miles an hour in. Yeah. Or this baby.
I think it's in that realm, yeah.
Can I say, I'm this baby?
No.
Instead of I'm him?
No, because it would be I'm baby.
I'm baby.
You wouldn't. Which is also I am baby. Like that, which is not actually foreign already.
I think I have
I'm going with
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going with I'm this him. I'm this him.
I'm this him. I have to say that because Amanda had to critique Chris's usage of this baby, we're going to give Amanda the win here.
I agree.
Is this your first ever victory on this quiz?
I don't think so.
No.
I feel like
I don't remember.
I feel like we all kind of take turns.
Yes.
Well, whatever. It's a big deal. It's Amanda Chesson is the winner of the 2024 New Words in the Dictionary quiz.
Can I get a round of applause? Dun, dun, right?
dun, yeah. Like, do we have anything like?
There we go.
This baby is weird. We should all have some panic. Like, woo. Chris Fanning immediately, by the way, hears that and goes right.
Oh my gosh!
It's like an involuntary reaction.
Jazzes me right up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! I think I was actually just doing it. I don't need to talk about it. Amanda looked at me like, don't even mention it. We're not a visual show yet. You don't have to explain. That was weird. Yeah, no, it wasn't one of those. So this has been a lot of fun. And listeners, maybe in our show notes we'll put as many of these words or maybe links to what Miriam, maybe just like a simple article from Cambridge and Merriam-Webster.
Very simple.
Yeah, because both of these dictionary companies choose different sets of words and phrases. And it's interesting when you find out that CopyPasta made it in one last year and then this year. Or I can't believe MID is just getting there now. Like, MID is not new.
You used snog earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And snog is really old. Snog is well, I know it as an English word, like English, British English versus
British,
American English. Right. So,
I got time. Let me go through as many as I can here. And snog, is snog?
It's to make out.
Okay.
Oh,
I thought
it's necking.
It's just making out.
Yeah.
It's not like copulating.
No.
Okay. For some reason, I thought it was.
You're not doing the dirty. You could actually snog in public. Okay.
Here we go, everybody. Merriam-Webster's list has brekkie. Linda Sue, what's brekkie?
Breakfast.
Yeah.
A little brekkie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little brekkie.
That's British, also.
Yeah. Brekkie. Okay. Child free. I don't know why that's in the dictionary in Merriam-Webster, but it is. I mean, it is what you think. Wait a second.
Child free, I think also.
It's not the same as child free one word. It's child free with a hyphen, different meaning.
I think it's more like, is it more like the lifestyle of not having children? No,
that would be child free, all one word. Child free refers to people who have kids but have a date night or have a child free occasion.
Ooh. Like a child free wedding reception.
Yeah.
Got it. Creepy crawl. Go ahead.
Can we assume that that Merriam-Webster's staff is mostly American, where Cambridge and Oxford have mostly British people? It would just be interesting.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. That may be correct. Megan Mack's going to call both companies and get a survey of the employees. She's got nothing to do. That point, though, is interesting because that would definitely, Linda Sue, influence where people's sensibilities are, what they think is new, or what they're seeing, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Creepy crawly, that's a noun. What is a creepy crawly?
Bug.
Yeah,
usually
bug.
With
Things
a lot
with
of legs.
A lot of legs.
Bug, yeah.
It's an insect,
millipede.
Yeah. The first known use of creepy crawly was in 1857, but Merriam-Webster says it took us until 2024 to admit it as its own word. Creepy crawly. Dap, verb. Pretty simple. Just dap somebody up.
Yeah,
just
dap.
Yeah, just making a little fist.
You're making a gesture on the air.
You're encouraging. You're.
This is an audio format. I'm dapping you up over the airwaves. There we go. Freestyle. Oh, that's like that Australian lady.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
The breakdancing.
No. Oh, I read that wrong. I thought it was breakdancing. It's not.
It
can be.
Yes.
It also can be just involved with freestyle, the creation of lyrics on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So not just dancing, but creation of lyrics on the spot. So
it is a swimming stroke.
Originally.
It's
not
a swimming
anymore,
stroke.
Linda Sue. Not in 2021. Linda Sue,
it has been for like ages.
Linda Sue, my response to that is Merriam-Webster admitting IDGAF, which they did, but we're not going to say what that means. That's in the dictionary, really?
It's being used.
It is being used.
I mean, if you know, you know.
Late capitalism.
Oh, late capitalism. It's what's slowly killing us all.
Amanda's all over. There's been almost nothing that Amanda has missed.
No, she's on. This is right? This is her year.
This is like a goat performance. Year. Like you are. I'm going to say, for a while I thought Chris Fanning was him or the goat. You might be the goat.
I am a nerd, so I'll take it.
Okay. Spotted lanternfly, that's an actual pest that the Northern Pennsylvania, Southern New York State, and the Finger Lakes especially are worried about. But that's in the dictionary now. We're not really wanting to see more of those guys here. Street corn?
Delicious.
Mm.
Okay. Combination of grilled corn, a creamy spread, and toppings.
Mm-hmm. Also referred to as elote.
From Mexico.
Yeah. True crime? True crime is kind of like this podcast genre or the storytelling genre.
The worst.
It's kind of
personally,
not,
I don't.
It's not viewed with a lot of love right now.
I was in residence at the studios of Key West in Florida. The first time I was there was with the author Sarah Perry, who wrote After the Eclipse, based on her mother's murder. And reading that book and knowing her and seeing her perspective on true crime really. Kind of gave me the ick about what true crime is.
Hey, by the way, demure is in.
Oh, very
so
demure.
What?
That's a
very
big one.
Very mindful.
Oh, Linda Sue, there's a whole demure trend from TikTok that maybe you missed. Totality is there now.
Of course.
We should all know what totality is. Pander, Fortnite, Cognitive, Elision.
Elision, I like.
Which is interesting. It's a collision, but it's with an object in a maritime setting. And yeah, really interesting there. And so I still didn't get, is it snog or slog?
Snog.
Snog.
Snog. Snog.
It's just making out.
Just making out.
Okay. Get your minds out of the gutter. Get your minds out of the gutter. Amanda Chestnut, congratulations. You're the winner.
Thank you.
Chris
thank you,
Fanning,
thank you.
Linda Sue Park. That was so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Always a great hour.
We have more connections coming up.